What's going on, guys? Welcome to another podcast. This is the Great White Buffalo Podcast. We're a creative shader experience with art and business. I'm your host, Cameron Howard, and today we got with us Andre Williams, otherwise known as Cash Creation. So, Cash, why don't you go ahead and tell them a little bit about yourself?
Like you just said, Cam, I'm Andre Williams, also known as Cash. I've been doing photography. My niche is photography. I've been doing photography for about 5 years overall. I really got into portraits, which is kind of my niche or my comfort zone. Yeah. That I found to, you know what I mean? Like, I really excelled at. Got into portraits in about the end of 2015. I had a couple of friends, you know, how it always started. You have a nice camera. You got a couple of friends that were like, oh, man, you're pretty good. You should take some pictures of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just started as a hobby. And then from there on, man, I just kind of kept progressing and kept wanting to be better. In that time frame, I kind of had a couple photographer friends. One of them name is Gio. He's one of my good friends. And he was starting around the same time I was. So we kind of grew together and we shared information back and forth. So whenever, you know, he learned something or I learned something, we would kind of be like, hey, man, you know, you can do this, you can do that. And, you know, whether it was editing, whether it was different ways to, you know, take pictures, different ways to pose. You know, we really grew up together. And then there's a lot of people on Instagram, a lot of photographers that I really looked up to and that I really enjoyed their work. It was almost like magic, you know, when I looked at their pictures. So I studied them, man. I studied the pictures, found out how to figure out like where they put their lights up and how they use the natural light or the ambient light or the catch light in the eyes. But most people just kind of look at Instagram posts or Facebook posts and they just scroll past them. But literally I would click on them, zoom in, check the skin work, the retouching, the everything, man. Yeah, like I was deep into it. So that's kind of how, you know, I became, you know, and almost infatuated with it. You know, I'm a perfectionist. I like to, you know, if I involve myself in something, I like to get to a point to where I'm satisfied. But me being a perfectionist, I'm kind of never really fully satisfied. I always feel like I could have did something better. And that has driven me over these years, man, to just become better and better. And I still feel like I have so far to go, man, so far.
Yeah, man. Dude, I can tell every time you do a shoot, man, it's like you just go on to the next level. And I'm just like, oh, there you go again. Especially once you started doing the one photo shoot that you had where I guess you like had the moon in that picture or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was probably like once you started, you know, messing around with that, I thought that was really dope. And then some of the lighting like that. So I just want you to talk about a little bit. How did you like develop or how did you like find your style?
So, you know, like I said, I had a few photographers that I was looking up to when I first got on the scene, I guess you can say, as photography. And then there were certain things I liked about each one of them. So like Nino Bautista, like I love his tones. I love the way he has like these tones that just work together. They don't fight with each other. You know, like Orangutan, he's, you know, like kind of hot on the scene right now, but the way he poses models and, you know, the way he uses dark shadows and stuff, because, you know, a few years ago, everything was bright and lovely. And now like the dark and the shadows are coming out and that's kind of becoming a new trend, new theme. There's who else? Joey Wright, man. Joey Wright, he does more like wide angle shots and kind of encompasses the landscape and everything else, you know, and not just shooting just a model. So, you know, I kind of take all those things, man, all those elements, and I put them together and I take a little bit of each one of them to kind of create my own character and my own persona as a photographer. So sometimes I, you know, find things, it might be like a outfit that inspires me. Sometimes it's just the location, you know, that might inspire me. So it's kind of just being able to get my viewer to see something that I want them to see the way I want them to see it.
Right. But I said, did you just like pick and choose a style or did it just come over like at a time, you know, just the more you shot, the more you kind of saw what you liked and what you didn't like? Or were you just like, all right, this is what I like. This is what I'm going to just try to focus on and, you know, get better at?
Well, no, it definitely, if I go back a lot of times, and that's one thing I would say, just keep all your shoes. So I go back over time and I look at all my shoes. I still have my very, very first shoot. And it was it wasn't very good. But, you know, throughout it, I can totally see my style changing. And a lot of it has to do with what I like. And also, you know, what I kind of take feedback from other people and stuff, because it's not just like photography. It is for me, and I get enjoyment out of it, but it's also for my clients. So right. I have to, like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of change and appease your clients in a way that, you know, they want to hire you and to get your services. But, you know, when I do my trade for prints and my collabs, I also like to create things that I like and that, you know, I just feel like are artistic or whatever. So I really didn't choose it. I went through a lot of trial and error. I have went through, you know, some forms of photo manipulations and stuff. And that was kind of like the moon one that I went back to. I really don't do it that often. I went through a phase of street photography, you know, landscapes. And I kind of just kept going, man. And I kind of, you know, whether it was just landing myself into portraits and all as well, you know, the style of portraits that I do and just the lighting that I like to kind of use, it kind of just kind of grew on me after I continued to find myself within photography.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. So I know you're talking about like lighting and stuff like that. I found myself asking myself whenever I'm on different photo shoots is whether I want to use like off-camera flash or like natural light, and like I guess what each one accomplishes and what vibe it gives. Like what's your opinion on that?
When I first started, I was all flash. Like everything I took was flash. I did a lot. I pretty much had a garage. I turned my garage into like a mini studio. And of course, you have to use flash. So I got really, really used to using flash so much that when I went outside, it was very hard for me to shoot without my flash. Right. It kind of handicapped me in a way. So then I kind of forced myself to not take my flash and to use natural light, to pay attention to, you know, the sun and, you know, the shady areas, how the you know, the highlights, the shadows are falling on the model's face, and how to use that to my advantage and, you know, make a beautiful portrait. So I think that, to be honest, the best of the best photographers can use both of them.
Yeah.
You know, to the point to where they can, I've seen them where they add in, you know, flash to kind of cover up some shadows that, you know, sometimes you just can't get rid of the sun because you might want to shoot one particular way into these rocks. And the only way to do that is you're going to have these nasty shadows. So I've seen the best of the best be able to combine the ambient light and the flash. And I think that if you can do that, then you are kind of at the epitome of manipulating light. And I think that's where most photographers should try to strive to be.
Yeah.
On the flip side of all of that, man, natural light has its own beauty, man. A lot of times when I see flash photography, like you can kind of tell it was flash photography. And it's right. Like so prevalent. It is just like...
Is that pop out look almost?
Yeah. It's almost like cartoony. I don't know. So you don't really get that with natural light. You know what I mean? You can kind of get away with or kind of get a better shot sometimes with natural light. If you don't know how to use flash, it can go terribly wrong. So If you're kind of a beginner or something like that, I would definitely say start out with natural light. And then from there, you know, kind of go over into flash. And even when you're using flash, like a rule of thumb is to expose for the ambient light first and then add in your flash. So you kind of have to.
What do you mean by like expose for like the ambient light?
So, you know, normally when you're kind of using flash anywhere, whether you're inside, outside, you're going to have to expose for the ambient light. So if you're in a studio, you need to take a shot. And if you like, hey, I want this shot to be completely black because I only want my flash to expose my subject. So you're going to take a shot, get your settings correct, you know, your shutter speed and all that stuff, get it correct to where when you take that shot, nothing's exposed but your subject. If you're outside and you want to, you know, make sure that the sky is exposed correctly, then you just take that shot without your subject take the shot and make sure that the sky is exposed correctly. Because normally what happens is if you shoot during the day and it's really bright outside, either your sky is going to be blown out and the highlights are going to be gone, or the subject is going to be, you know, the highlights in the sky, sorry, the highlights in the sky will be overexposed. Your subject will be exposed properly, or vice versa, where your subject is underexposed and the sky is exposed properly. So
right.
To kind of compensate or to get over that hump, you expose for the sky and then use flash to help expose the subject to its proper place. I guess you can say it's proper exposure.
Yeah. So you can get like almost like two pictures in one type. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but that takes skill and it takes a lot of trial and error and, you know.
Yeah, I'm about to say that's something I've definitely been trying to learn to experiment with, because it's definitely like a whole nother ball game with, you know, the little off-camera flash, you know, trying to, if you put it too close, then it's just like, it just looks like a pop-out cartoon. And if you put it too far away, then there's lights the wrong things and you got to, you know, try to make sure it's just like it's exposing for the ambient light, all that. But it's just something I'm definitely trying to get better at too, man. I know you're talking about, you know, trying, you know, manipulating the light and learning how to use the light. I guess explain to us how you direct the light and stuff like that when you're directing models and like working with models. And
normally, like I said, if I do shoot with a flash, I normally go with a one light setup, because I've become more of a mobile photographer. I was kind of switched over from studio, so I don't carry a lot of lights with me. So if I do carry a light, it's one light. So I do mostly one light setups. If I'm doing that outside, you know, I like to have my, if I'm using a flash, I like to have the sun to my subject's back, and I'm using the flash to compensate for the front side and the face and everything that I want exposed. And then the subject be backlit by the ambient light. With that, you know what I mean? If I want it just like a full, beautiful, you know, fully evenly lit picture, I'm going to, you know, pretty much probably place my flash to my camera left and camera right, pretty much right in front of the subject. You want it about, I don't know, maybe 6 inches, depending on what type of modifier you're using, about, you know, a few inches above the eyes. You always want to kind of have the light coming downward, because it's like a natural flow of light. Unless you're trying to do some more artistic stuff, then you can kind of have it coming upward. But normally you have it coming downward, maybe like at a 45-degree, 30-degree angle-ish, pointing down at the subject. And you're going to just shoot. And you want to make sure that they have this, you know, thing in photography called a catch light, which is normally beautiful if you do it correctly. And if you kind of have it just a little above the eyes, you normally get it. So, and they'll be exposed pretty well. If you have a pretty big modifier, you know, the softer the light, small modifier, the more harsh the light's going to be, more shadows you're probably going to create. So normally I go out with about a 40-inch beauty dish, and that kind of covers everything I need to be.
Yeah. So I know you're talking about catch lights. So you're saying catch lights, you're talking about like that white reflection in like their eyes, kind of make them like look alive, or like, you know. I guess that's what I think. Whenever they have like the catch lights in their eyes, I think it definitely brings the photo to life a lot more.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Especially if you got a subject with beautiful eyes, it just kind of brings the whole photo, you know, to in a relatable state, I guess you can say, because you don't want them to cook, like you were saying, just have like a pop out, almost like a cartoony look. And I don't know, the catch light is just kind of is a technique that has been done from, I don't know, for how long ever flash been out. So kind of a traditional technique that photographers tend to do. And it looks nice when done right, I would say that.
Yeah. So I got like another question. I know that there would be definitely younger photographers listening to this. I know when I first started doing photography, even now sometimes, we struggle a little bit with like directing models and stuff like that, as far as like trying to get the, you know, the vibes we want, or just trying to get the right positioning. Can you give us like any tips for directing or posing models and like working with them in general?
Yeah, definitely. I think that where some people kind of fail at is some photographers fail at is when, if you're not really strong with posing,
I'm not really a strong poser as a photographer, and I would admit that, and that's something that I always work on. But when you're not really strong, you kind of have to find ways to compensate. So my ways to compensate in directing slash posing is before I shoot, I come up with a mood board. You know, I go on Pinterest or I go on Instagram or something like that. I come up with a whole mood board. Okay. Come up with, you know, a style, a theme, whatever it is. And inside that mood board, you know, I have the kind of like hairstyle ideas. I have the outfit ideas. So that'll kind of give, you know, the model a direction to kind of go in. So they kind of already know what to expect and be able to get into the mind frame of whatever shoot you're going to do. As well, in that mood board, I go ahead and send poses. So I can send the poses to them and then they can kind of, I just go ahead and tell them, hey, you know, look over your poses. These are some of the things that we're going to be running through. And I look over the poses as well. So we kind of both know, all right. So when I get to the shoot, I'm like, all right, we're going to do this pose. I bring up my phone. Hey, we're going to try this pose out. But I don't like to keep my model stagnant. So I say, hey, we're going to, you know, use this pose as inspiration, but we're going to kind of flow pose and free pose it. So, you know, we'll move our arms, move our hands, because, you know, just a natural move of the arm or a natural move of the hand, or, you know, just running your fingers through your hair, it kind of turns the picture into a whole different picture sometimes.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take a lot to kind of manipulate one pose. You can do one pose, but, you know, just move the arms or, you know, move the legs just a little bit and it'll create a whole different vibe.
I know I do that sometimes with the little Pinterest board, you know, it's in the whole mood, you know, doing that. When you're talking about, you know, posing and stuff like that, what are some other tips that you just wish you knew earlier about photography, editing, just, you know, about the game in general, you know, about business, any, you know, business tips and tricks that you might have?
So if I was, you know, kind of just talking to a newer photographer, some of the things I would tell them is, you know, don't come out the gate. Just don't come out the gate charging people. Like, that's kind of one of my biggest pet peeves. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, I feel like some people just, because cameras are so accessible these days, they just buy a camera and they were like, okay, well, I just spent $500, so I need to make some money, so I'm charge people.
Yeah.
And it kind of actually ruins and gives photographers a bad name overall, the ones that are out here really trying to, you know, really mastering their craft and doing it well. But then you kind of have some other ones that, you know, are coming out of the gate charge people. So I would say, you know, get good at your craft before you start charging. That'd be like my first tip.
Yeah. So how do you, how would you advise people to get better at their craft as far as finding work, you know, without charging, just doing like the time for prints and stuff like that?
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, doing the trade for prints, to be honest, like it was hard. It was hard. I'm pretty sure a lot of other photographers can relate. It's very hard when you don't have a portfolio trying to find models that want to model for you.
Right.
Until, you know, I built a really good social media following and had a really good portfolio to where I can just, you know, message somebody and be like, hey, you want to shoot? Because obviously the first thing they're going to do is click on my profile, go to my portfolio. I'm like, oh, okay, he's legit. So it's very hard, you know, to find those people. But I would say, you know, close friends, you know, so people inside of your circle to where they will give you the feedback that you need to get from them. Like, hey, you know, you need to talk more during shoots, because that was one of my things. I really didn't talk during my shoots at first. It was mad awkward, probably, for the model, because I'm, you know, sitting here thinking about all my settings and everything that people saying. I wasn't talking. So, you know, hey, you know, talk more during shoots, you know, direct, because, you know, the photographer needs to break the ice. There's always going to be that awkward moment. You know, you got to have a good personality. You got to be sociable. You got to be able to talk and, you know, just kind of get to know that person and get them to trust you enough within like 10, 20 minutes to be able to shoot with them. Because if they're not comfortable, it's going to show in all the pictures.
Right.
So I would definitely say that. Another thing I would say is, you know, within, you know, finding your friend or something like that, just networking. You know, networking is so huge, and just, you know, the artist community, really, you know, whether you are a photographer or a painter or whatever it is, like networking, man, and getting up with other people, learning from those people, you know, just hanging out, because that opens up tons of doors. And then that way you can kind of tag along with them, kind of see how they shoot, might even be able to, you know, ask them like, hey, you mind if I, you know, shoot with these models? Or, you know, even just from affiliation, they kind of understand that, hey, this dude's not a, he's not a perv. I seen him before. He was with, you know, this person on that day.
Right.
So, you know, networking is really big when you're trying to find those models and open up doors that might be closed because you're a beginner.
Another question is, do you have any tips for like raising your value as a photographer? Because I noticed like on your social media, you have like a very strong brand. Like I noticed that you have, you know, your shirts for when somebody shoots with you, the, you know, you buy cash. Do you just have any tips or anything as far as like, you know, raising your value as a photographer and as a brand?
So, you know, I feel like I kind of in the last year or so came into my own when it comes down to branding and marketing, because your quality of work is going to get you so far. So I've seen amazing photographers on Instagram and Facebook that do amazing work, but at the same time, they don't have the following. They don't have, and in our day and time, it's so sad, but a lot of your popularity, a lot of your value is in the numbers that you have on social media, which is just crazy to me.
Right.
But it is what it is, and you have to, you know, change with the times. So not only do you have to be a good photographer, but you have to be a good marketer. You know, you have to market yourself. And, you know, when you're starting out, you're going to, you know, get your following. I mean, you're going to get your following up. You're going to get, you know, your friends to shoot with you and so forth and so on. But at some point in time, you have to understand that people like things that are rare, if that makes sense. So, you know, people like Jordans because they're rare. You can't get them. They sell out. You know what I mean? It costs $200. People like, you know, red bottom shoes because everybody can't get them. People right. like, you know, Louis Vuitton because everybody can't get it. So at some point in time, you have to value yourself enough so that way other people value you and almost become rare. Like to the point where if you go somewhere else, you won't get what I have because what I have is rare. So that's what kind of brought me into branding and stuff. And it's like, okay, how can I make somebody want to shoot with me instead of somebody else? Like, what would they get from shooting with me that they wouldn't get from somebody else? And so, you know, I kind of came up with the concept of, you know, my model by cash. And it was kind of, I mean, it sounds kind of simple, maybe even stupid, but it kind of has taken off a lot quicker and a lot better than I thought it would, because, you know, how I kind of see it is that is my interpretation of how I see you. You know what I mean? When I see you and I envision you, like, this is how I see you. So this is like my interpretation of, you know, whoever I just shot. And that's what I would say, man. You know, just don't, because if I can shoot with you and everybody in the city and shot with you, and it's like, I mean, everybody can shoot with you. You know what I mean? It's kind of like,
like supply and demand type.
Definitely. It's supply and demand, man. It's like, everybody can shoot with you, but nobody can shoot. You know, it's kind of like orangutan. It's like, you mention his name and it's like, oh my God. Like, and it's like, yeah, because nobody can shoot him. He's so exclusive. Everybody likes exclusive. They like to feel like they were part of something exclusive
that
everybody can't do. Matter of fact, I did a trade for print maybe, a few weeks ago. I'm not naming names, but a model, she brought a friend with her, which is fine, you know, but her friend, you know, wasn't really a model. She just came along and I was going to shoot with her because I don't like people just tagging along and, you know, not just being bored and sitting there. Anyway, long story short, the model had been waiting to shoot me for probably a few months and we kind of haven't been able to get our schedule together. So long story short, she kind of wound up getting mad because another guy shot with her. And her point was like, I was waiting to shoot with y'all for 3-4 months. And then my friend just came on the scene. She wasn't even supposed to be there. And she got to shoot with y'all just overnight. And it kind of made a point. It was like, you know, people are waiting to shoot with these big photographers 3-4 months. So when they get that moment, they cherish it more.
Yeah.
But if you can just shoot with me, you can just call me up and be like, hey, let me shoot with you in 10 minutes. It's like, you're not going to cherish it as much. You know, if you cancel my shoot, you're not going to get another shoot for 3-4 months because you already waited on this one for 5-6 months because I've been busy or I've been booked.
Right.
So I feel like the more you make yourself kind of rare and exclusive, the more people will value.
So how do you like, I guess for, you know, photographers coming up, how do you know when the right time to transition between, you know, like some of the, you know, the trade for prints to go into like paid shoots, or how does somebody know, I guess when it's time to start charging for pictures and start charging for sessions and edits and stuff like that?
I would definitely say that, you know, it is a concept that you have to find inside of you. You know, I kind of put my work up to other people's work, and some of it I still haven't reached their level. And so I'm like, man, maybe I'm not, you know, good enough to charge this much because they charge this much. But you kind of like find your from networking, you find like the kind of quotas that, you know, most photographers are doing, and you kind of like, you know, put yourself within them. Like, you kind of have to find your bracket, I guess you can say, of cost. So it's like, all right, well, you know, this guy's, you know, kind of charging this much. I know that my work is better than his, you know, but it's not as good as his. So, you know, I'm going to fall within this kind of comfort zone of charging. Because you don't want to kind of get out there, because luckily I'm in the military, so I move a lot. But what happens is, if you kind of get well known in your community, well known in your area for doing trade for prints, then it's kind of hard for people to change over and accept you charging them, because you have done so much free work for them and they kind of expect you to do free work for them, that it's kind of hard to change over and be like, okay, well, now I'm gonna charge you for the same thing that I was doing for you 2 months ago for free.
Right.
So, you know, because I'm in the military, I move a lot. So my local area, like when I go somewhere else, all they know me is Cash that is a photographer that charges. They don't know me as, you know, Cash that does all his shoots free.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's going to happen to where word of mouth is like, oh, girl, I just shot with him. Oh, man, I just shot with him. He did mine for free. He might do yours free, too. And it's like, and then everybody and their friends like, oh, man, well, you did his for free. Why you don't do mine for free? You know,
right.
You wind up being a butthole for like, no, I did theirs for free because I'm charging you. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you just like think that you just take a look at all the photographers in the area and just see, you know, where you fall, and then that's where the pricing falls as well.
I think so. I mean, you don't, as a photographer, as a whole, man, I think that we kind of need to, when you get in your community, you need to come up with kind of more of a standard for your business, I guess you can say, because one or two, three, four photographers shooting for $25 a shoot kind of brings the market value down for all the photographers, because most people, I mean, they see the quality, but they really don't see the quality difference that you would get. Like, all right, well, this person only charged me $50, so I'm not going to go to you because I can get this somewhere else. So, you know, I do think that there should be a baseline, and there's, you know, a lot of information online, and people have messaged me, and I will always send them like there's little descriptions of kind of what tier you might fall in and how much you should be charging within that tier, you know, to tell you that you can, you know, shoot natural light, you can shoot this, you can shoot that, you might be falling in this tier if you've been had this much experience, and this is the price range that you should be charging in. So, you know, anybody that wants, you know, information about that, I can shoot that to them, because it kind of gives you a starting point where you kind of want to be at within your photographer career, and then how to progress and when you might be able to progress to more prices. But I do think that, you know, overall in a community, that certain people can shoot and they kind of bring the value down for photographers in a sense, because like they either they're getting it for free or they're getting it for $20. And it's like, when you come to me, you don't think I'm crazy because I'm not charging you $20. So,
right. Yeah, it was definitely understandable. So, I got another question. I guess the last thing before we wrap this this podcast up, you have any other tips or tricks for any other photographers coming up that, you know, just things that you wish you would have knew earlier or anything like that?
Let's see, man. Don't, you know, I would say this, if you kind of get good at something and you get comfortable with it, keep pushing yourself, man, because when you get uncomfortable, either you're going to you know, not do so well and you can learn from it? Are you going to excel through it? You know, I was lucky enough to have people around me that always kind of put me into uncomfortable situations. They'd be like, hey, you know, I told this person that you would shoot with them and it's going to be Saturday. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, I never did that before. Like, I don't know. But, you know, with YouTube and friends and you just ask, hey, man, have you ever did this? You know, and next thing you know, you're doing it and you become good at it. So I would definitely say, you know, get outside of your comfort zones and just keep shooting. You can't overshoot enough. Like if you, luckily we have, you know, DSLRs these days, we're not shooting with film. So these things shoot as much as your SD card holds. So if you're not confident in any shots, you know, just keep shooting. And, you know, whether you end up with 200, 300 pictures, at least you got the shots that you need. Besides that, man, I would just say, man, just find your style, your swag, and, you know, just keep kind of go out there and create art, man. Don't get into it for the wrong reasons. Don't just get into it just to meet girls and just to, you know, try to see girls half naked and all this other stuff that destroys our name as well. Just go out there and honestly, man, just go out there and shoot, man. And if you have that persona of kind of a friendly competition, man, you want to be better than anybody else you see. And that'll always drive you to continue shooting and to continue to be better. Be humble. Oh man, that's so big. Be humble, man. Be humble and just accept feedback. Ask for feedback. Even if it's a new model, you know, ask for feedback. Like, hey, you know, how do you think I did? You know, do you like these pictures? Is there anything I could do differently about them? You know, just getting that feedback sometimes will help you grow and, you know, just make you a better person overall. So, but besides that, man, I don't really have too much, bro.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast today and sharing some of your thoughts and experience. And I guess we're going to go ahead and end this podcast. This is the Great White Buffalo Podcast number 2. And thank you for listening.
Yeah. How much money you got? Shred up. How much money you got? A lot. How much money you got? A lot. How many problems you got? A lot. How many people done doubted you? A lot. Left you out to rot? A lot. How many pray that you flaunt? A lot. How many lawyers you got? A lot. How many times you got shot? A lot.